Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show. It is July 18th. We are coming down the home stretch to SummerSlam. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. FightfulSelect.com has all the scoops you could ever want. So much information went up there this week. We were going to tell you about AJ Styles. We really were, but TNA kind of beat us to it. But more details on AJ Styles being on Slammiversary on FightfulSelect.com. Also, some talent rotation about AEW between Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega. A couple people taking expected time off. Will Ospreay sounds like he's been working kind of banged up, which I know is surprising if you've ever seen one of his matches. That guy very clearly takes it so easy. But before we dive into anything.
My soda when you said that, by the way. I'm like, did she just say takes it easy?
He's just like always resting on his laurels, that Will Ospreay. But we do have a programming note that Alex is going to be summarily and unprofessionally leaving the SmackDown post show after this week. Look, to his credit, it was, we'll just be straight up. It was a contract negotiation. He said, look, if we're not making seven figures, I can't stay here. And I was like, listen, we understand your value, man, but like we can't match that. And I ran up the flagpole to Sean and he said he'd see what we could do. He offered Alex a share of Fightful. We did everything we could to retain him, but his dreams are elsewhere. No, I'm just kidding. But it is.
And he already locked me out of my email account, so we're good.
Yeah, no, we told HR. It was a whole thing of the up the flagpole. He's going to be filming Wyatt family segments now. You figured it out. But Alex, we've done this for like 3 years. I mean, mm-hmm. I've done it for fun.
You've done it. I've just been sitting here looking pretty, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you've had the claps out. We've had so much fun. I always joke that, like, when I had you on the first time, I didn't know it was your dark match on Fightful because I didn't know that Sean Ross Sapp was going to Irish goodbye this post show, which he did. He did not tell me he was leaving the SmackDown post show. He was like, Kate seems comfortable in the hosting role. Maybe I'll spend some more time doing other things on my Friday. Oh, I have to do work outside of post shows. I'm always getting those scoops. He just Irish goodbye his way out of here. And Alex was subbing every week. And that's
every
technically
week. 3 years later, I'm still subbing.
I know. That's technically still the case. This is just Sean is on an incredible streak of needing a sub basically here, but the chat said it already that you'll be missed around here for sure. We need an LFG to see who's going to be the next co-host. This has something to do with the Coldplay couple, doesn't it?
I mean, it's all coming down the pipeline.
I found Cardoza in the arms of another host.
He did. Coldplay. I mean, she did. She did.
I said, I will fix you. That wasn't the case, but
I was also on no crazy lists. Like, I'll leave it at that. Like, everyone.
Thank God. But Alex, I just want to say I've had so much fun with you, and you are welcome around these parts of Fightful at any point. Like, we love having you here. You have such a fun energy to the show, and you've been such a wonderful, reliable host, co-host. Anytime my internet's out, you've just taken over. Plug and fill into this on the weeks I'm off. We've had some fun times too. So I just, I've had so much fun, and I thank you for being this very, 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 very long-term sub for before Sean comes back.
No, for sure. Yeah. I've had nothing but fun. 3 years for me, I was like, I didn't think I was going to last like 2 days. or 2 weeks, I should say. You know, I was just like, cool, yeah. I mean, if you want me to come back, I'll sure as hell come back. But yeah, you know, like, first of all, like, obviously, all the love to you for just, I mean, we've built an incredible bond together. The things that we text yes. will get me canceled for years and years to come. We share
not
stories.
Scandalously.
We have written shows for AEW. We have full control of our contracts there.
They pay us. So.
They do. You know, the bot accounts we created. I mean, everything. It was just great. Secondly, and not to make this long, obviously Sean and the whole team, like Joel, everyone. It's super dope. Like, if you ever get the chance to work and do something in this industry, I would say the industry standard would start here, obviously. Where the no BS filter is always on, and they care about not only the people who are behind the mic, but the workers and everything else that happens in wrestling in general. But I just felt, and I'll be completely transparent and honest with everyone, it just felt like a little bit, and I told this to Kate for months on end. Unfortunately, and have you guys read my skeets? WWE sometimes just gets a little, I haven't fallen out of love with wrestling. I just like, they've become a little bit of a chore for me, you know, like wrestling. Yeah. It's just a lot of stuff there. I would never come to the conclusion that I'm in now if it wasn't for, you know, for just the fact that I felt like I was like, okay, maybe this is it. And I'm sure somebody way cooler, better looking, with nicer clavicles will show up and make you guys like the best damn Friday nights ever in the whole world. But like I said, I'm still gonna be around. Like, if you guys, God forbid, I told Kate anything happens and she needs someone, please just call me up, you know? So, and I'll be, hopefully Kate will have me in her 1 millionth sub channel that she's going to build. wrestling as well.
We'll definitely have some fun on my own channel with Cardoza. He did AEW All In predictions with me, and we had a great time. We always had a great time. I
was right about the EVPs losing.
Listen, Alex.
Actually, I picked with you that they were going to win.
Way. Yeah, I was going to say, you chose one way with Freddie. You chose one way with me.
I covered my bases, friends. You know,
I saw what you were doing.
I'm like getting caught by Coldplay, just covering my bases.
That's it. It appropriate that it's Coldplay, because wasn't it Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow who went through a conscious uncoupling?
Mm-hmm. There it is.
you're not leaving the show. We're having a conscious uncoupling, but let's dig into some chats, because you guys have been generous already and early. Bad Robot saying hello, favorite post show. Well, not anymore. Because Alex is leaving, possibly late to the stream. My dad passed Sunday. I'm so sorry to hear. And tonight was the wake. He would watch wrestling with me as a kid and loved when I'd show him funny Fightful clips. Oh, my gosh. The heart. My heart. Love you all. Thanks for the laugh. There's no greater like privilege on this side of the mic than when we get messages. Wrestling is awesome. And I love it. And it's like the most amazing form of storytelling, and there's so much value in wrestling. There is nothing that a wrestling match or move can bring as far as feeling satisfying as a podcaster that is paramount to, hey, watching this helped me and brought me some sort of relief. Nothing is. And Bad Robot, you're always like so kind and supportive in the chat. And I think you had mentioned this on Sean's show too. And we just send you all the love in the world possible. And I hope that you feel an iota of the support that you give our community, because you are always here being kind to others, being wonderful. I'm sure your dad was awesome, because he clearly seems to have raised somebody awesome in you. So we very much appreciate it. Look at all the love.
I have mad
love. All the love showing up in the chat.
Yeah. And you know what? There's nothing could ever prepare you for what you just went through. Specifically losing. You could lose family members, friends, et cetera, et cetera. You know, your parents are just on a totally different level. So, you know, my condolences to you and your family. I'll pray for you and your family as well. Like, just, you know, keep kicking ass, stay strong, and be that rock for your family that you can. I know you are, dude.
Hell yeah. In a very different chat, Menorma says it's raining natties and brawn breakers here. I'm assuming that's an incredibly creative way of saying cats and dogs.
Wow.
Not safe to crank. Well, we certainly don't want the electricity of the cranking to be in danger here, but hello SGS and the Bangs and Clavs gang. Y'all are the way of the late show, doodles. Sure. That's right.
We are. I've just been canceled.
First they cancel Colbert. Now, are you moving on? Are you taking over late night with Stephen Colbert? Is that why you're leaving the show?
We're in talks, but nothing settled yet. We still have a whole year to kind of figure things out, me and him, since we're both part of the Writers Guild of America. We're going to figure out what we can do together. Yeah, you know. We're in talks with our agents, you know.
I love it. I love that for you. Honestly, like, what a beautiful next step. Taylor Cannon saying, love you guys, ma'am. I don't know if you're being, like, very respectful to me or if you meant to say, love you guys, ma'am. But I will take either the very proper salutation. We'll miss you, Cardoza. Look, we're not going to let him get... We haven't even signed a separation agreement, okay? We don't even know if we're going to let him leave his contract, okay?
No, yeah. There's going to be a lot of people,
there's a lot of legal
lawyers involved, and you know, I still go to Jersey, and I'm gonna end up in Kate's front door crying in the middle of the night, you know. So
yes, that's probably on the way, and I'm prepared for it, honestly.
Yes.
Cardoza's will be at our orbit, man. Like, he will never be too far away. Tina, who's wonderful, says, hello, sending hugs. Nice building block show. I think Cody is stepping into his heavy is the crown villain after tonight. We're going to talk to you about that at the... We're going to start our wrestling talk with that, actually, tonight. That'll be fun. Cardoza, will we get a Goldberg-like tell about Fightful on another...
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something.
Oh, great retirement speech from Alex Cardoza. Unfortunately, it got cut off. I don't know how that happened. We could never have prepared for such a thing. Great match with Gunther, though, Cardoza. We appreciate it. I hope the chops didn't hurt too bad.
And third of all, I just wait, did I get cut off? I was like, fuck, what happened? You guys missed all of that?
I love it. Ben saying, I really hope you find another Alex. You are better with two, Kate. I think you're saying that I suck at solo shows.
Wow. No.
But.
No, she's will never... good.
I think he means another Alex. Like, because I have Pulowski and I have you. He's saying, like, I need the double A connection. Yeah,
you do another
one. There will never be another Alex. Except we have another Alex.
Another Alex.
But there will never be another Alex Cardoza.
No. This is... No.
We'll keep you guys posted on what the future of that looks like. We probably won't make any permanent decisions until after SummerSlam, because that's a couple weeks away. But we have such a great we have a really deep roster here at Fightful. There are amazing creators in this space who we'd also love to give our platform to. So we will let you know. Next week will probably be just me or maybe me and Sean, but we will figure it out. But let's dive into tonight's SmackDown. Enough of
my crap. Like, seriously, you guys,
goodbye.
First of all, I'm still on, you know, Blue Sky and occasionally crying on Twitter. So, like, yeah, you know, we're here.
You know what we're actually going to do? This will be fun. We're going to go early with our NordVPN ad, and I'm not going to undersell them on how great they are to us.
Hell yeah, they are.
But by the end of the ad, I want you guys to tell me, do you want to talk about the opening angle of the car crash first, or do you want to talk about the main event first? It doesn't have to be a super chat, just a regular chat, but I want to know what you guys want to talk about first. So let me know. But first, we're going to have Sean tell you all about NordVPN, and I'm going to talk up how they're, oh my God, so great, after.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click, and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Well, my chat experiment didn't really go well because it was a 50-50 heat as I was.
I'll be the tiebreaker. Let's start with Cody.
We're going to start with Cody. All right. We have this chat saying, I blame CBS Paramount for Alexa's leaving. I do too, honestly. They canceled the Colbert Report. Or not the Colbert Report. That was him on Comedy Central. Late Night with Stephen Colbert. And suspiciously, Alex is like, oh, I think this is my last week.
It's crazy because I'll be honest with you guys. It took me like last week. I wrote something to Kate that was along the lines of what was happening today. But then today, it took me a long time to send that text message that I wrote out earlier today. And I was just like contemplating, you know. But yeah.
I love this. My first SGS adjacent super chat goes out to Cardoza. Hopefully Kate's next Alex is established and not the way of the Andrade Phoenix team, which is great, but also thrown together because Hispanic. Well, you can't throw a team together for being Hispanic with me because I'm actually not Hispanic. You could throw a white girl tag team. I could get like Weezy or someone.
After three years with me, you're Hispanic. Yeah.
Alex, my dear, I think it went the other way because you love Christmas. You love pumpkin spice. You love all the white girl stuff. I think it went in reverse.
I've always had the leggings on. I have a nice ass, so you know, I always just I sit Alex my lattes said, and my boots.
It's not my birthday, but I got that cake, is what Alex said. Let's talk about Cody Rhodes. Cody's promos aren't always the most for me, but I kind of liked what we got from him tonight because we got some fire out of him. And he opens with saying, like, we're in Texas. It's the home state of my parents. It's the home state of one of my Royal Rumble wins. He clarifies his don't flinch tweet from the other day. And he lists, I kind of like that Cody stood on business basically in this. Like, I like that he was like, you want to know what I didn't flinch? Didn't flinch at Brock Lesnar, didn't flinch at the Bloodline, didn't flinch facing my friend and Jey Uso. Like, I like that he backed up what he was saying with less crocodile tears and more, look at how damn good I am. I'm coming back for that Cena title. And I also actually really liked this from John Cena when he was like, oh, sorry, I'm going to be filming something for Netflix. I can't be at SummerSlam, but I'll see you in Paris, though. Like, I like that he dressed up this I'm a weasel thing and like, man, I wish I could be there. Like, I this is the best that I can do right now. Like, this is the most available I can be. I felt like actually very, very well delivered for him. And I like that it wasn't chicken shit and that it was like, ha ha ha, run away. But it had that same core, but shrouded in this, like, I'm sorry, I'm being a hero somewhere else that day kind of thing. And it gave you, his delivery gave you the impression that, like, if it was going to be rescheduled for Paris, it would be rescheduled for Survivor Series, that kind of thing. Like, so I actually kind of liked this. And I also like that, unlike most contract signings, he was like, listen, I can't sign this because if I do, that means the match is set in stone and I'm not available for that date. And then Cody forcefully, literally forces his hand into signing the contract and reveals that the contract was for a street fight. I think a stipulation is desperately needed. But I also like that we had something in play that actually involved the contract signing. Like it involved the contract with the signing, because when I saw this segment, my initial reaction was Cody won a tournament. What do we need a contract signing for? The tournament he won is the contract, basically. Like, why do we have to have a contract signing about it?
Summer is here, and you know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. And that's why I made the switch to Mint Mobile, and I've been loving it. With Mint, you get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. Say bye-bye to all your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile will rescue you. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch the overpriced wireless, get 3 months of unlimited service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. I switched in June. You should too. The first few months, I saved almost $100 by switching to Mint Mobile. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get the new customer offer and get your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/FWP. That's mintmobile.com/FWP. An upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited new time customer offer for the first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. mintmobile.com/FWP.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
But they made the actual contract consequential, so I really, really liked that about it. This contract signing and this Cody Cena segment, I liked a lot more than stuff that I've been getting from both of them up to this point. I thought it was a little more clever, and I thought Cody brought a little bit more sincerity and energy to this than a lot of his promos. I really like it when people back up what they say with all of their successes. How did you feel about our closing segment? If you're even going to work on your last day, if you don't have senioritis, just not
no,
even
no,
your opinions
just,
anymore.
I just straight up didn't watch the show. I'm just here. I said I would be here for my last show, right? I didn't say I had to watch it. Now, first of all, Cody's...
we should have done a retirement tour for you. I have four more dates left.
First of all, I'm doing a retirement podcast tour on FIFO. I'm going to every single show.
I think Black Titantron with white shot, yeah. And just a countdown of how many dates
that's
you
it.
Have. I love it.
Honestly, like, he's coming into his own. This is the first promo that I've seen where he wasn't attempting to cry. He didn't bring up a lot of the, you know, mushy, like, you know, same drawn out talk that he does, you know. He mentioned more than just his dad this time, you know. He mentioned his other family members, his brother, et cetera, et cetera. So it was good in the sense that it felt different finally coming from him, because it's always been like the pacing, making the faces, taking deep breaths, and my dad, you know, like all those, it's always been that same like route. So I felt this one was good. Also, like Cena, on Cena's side, Cena turning into the chicken poop heel today was really, really good, because he's, as of late, he's just been that, you know, talking on the mic, come at me. This is, I do whatever I want. I don't care. But tonight it was like, you know, actually, I'm not going to be a SummerSlam, right? I'm going to go. That was it. And it was cool that, like, the way he grabbed his hand, I actually laughed when he grabbed his hand, put the pen in his hand and signed it. I'm like, bro, legally binding? probably.
It was, yeah,
I think he was signed it under distress. I don't think that holds up legally.
I saw a couple million people say that they saw it happen. So, you know, I don't know. He might he might win in court.
I want the chat's opinion on this as well. I was thinking about this watching this segment because this was the most I've liked Cody in a minute too. Is Cody just like the best championship chaser? And maybe not like, maybe we were a little exhausted on the reign. I don't think the booking of his reign was great. But like, does he have the fire when he's chasing something that you and I love? And when he holds the title, he has kind of the more... more specific archetype of being the suit wearing, clean cut superhero, can overcome anything, inspired by his parents. Like, I guess the more typical thing. But when he's chasing, is it like, because he's got something to sink his teeth into a little bit more, we get a little bit more fire. I was thinking about that. Let me know in the chat. But Cardoza, I want to know your thoughts on
that. Yeah, 100%. I, for some reason, he's... this is nothing on him, but he's pretty vanilla when he's a champion, right? Like, I will defend this.
It works for WWE fans, yes, too. It's just, for you and I, hasn't been the most
correct. Yeah, thing. Like it's like, okay, cool. Like, we're out there, we're doing our thing. We're gonna talk about how I'm gonna defend this championship and to the moon, right? But when he's chasing it, we've seen him turn something up, something different happens, right? Like, he's angry, he's anxious, he's looking for ways to get back at you for, you know, taking that title and for trying to play, you know, games with him, like trying to leave the ring and not be do these matches. I mean, the dude has what, 10 matches left? Cena does, right? 10 more, 11 more dates? Like, it's crazy.
I think, yeah, like 12 or 13 more appearances, but two of them have been announced for just like regular TVs. One is in Massachusetts in September, so we'll see. But yeah, it's crazy that he's now at the point. I was thinking about this the other day too. He's at the point where he now has had more title reigns than he does appearances left on his WWE career. Assuming this isn't, that's like crazy. Ha ha ha, I said I was retiring as a heel and I'm not actually retiring, but I think he's legit.
You know, one last thing I want to say, like, I'm a huge historian of pro wrestling. I love it. I've been watching it since the 80s with my grandfather. It's crazy to me when I think about him and what he's doing now. It was like the beginning and like almost like, you know, like the rise of NWO for like Hogan back in the day. Like, they're almost like, when you look at the age comparison, I think they're almost like the same age. Like, he's ending his career, right? He became a heel. And I start thinking, wow, you know, Hulk became a heel at almost at the same age and had this insane run. God, I wish Cena would have done something like this. And I know it's hard to say because Cena even looks bad when he's like, people catch him on the street walking. Like, you can tell he's huddled over, you know, his body's taking a lot of hits. So, but it's crazy. I mean,
Hulkster wasn't looking great at the end there.
Either, he was not at all. He was like completely a mess. But when you think back at that time, like he was just, for another 5-6 years, he can't.
Yeah. No, it,
you know?
You're right about that. And I honestly, like, Sean has talked about this and I kind of suspected this too. Like, it really feels like The Rock angle just left this heel turn for dead, which is really unfair to him in a sense, because it's like, we haven't seen Travis Scott. The reports from not us, like other people have reported, that Travis Scott like just didn't really take to it and kind of bailed on everything. The Rock hasn't been around since. Like, jeez. So it does feel like all of that kind of got a and the chat's agreeing with us here. Great chaser, exhausting winner. Some people saying too, like, his championship reign wasn't really booked to the gills.
That too, yeah.
Which definitely doesn't help. We got Tim McVell saying bangs and clams forever. Alex, you can't get rid of us this easy. Once you join the SGS, you are SGF for life. Thank you for being a voice of Latin wrestlers and an ally for all other voices. We need more Alexes in our life. Well, we've got two here. One of them's leaving, but we do have another Alex at least. But I think what you're saying is we need more people like Cardoza in this space. And I couldn't even agree more. I've had so much fun the past 3 years. And like a lot of is really important at Fightful, and I feel confident in saying this, that from the top, it Sean cares much more that you're like a good human being first, that even on Sour Graps, like, well, we're called Sour Graps. We don't personally attack wrestlers. We don't do things like that. And more than the most brilliant wrestling analysis in the world, that is a priority of Sean and Jimmy Van. I feel comfortable saying that. And I feel comfortable saying, though I've never been explicitly told this, I would say that's a value of Fightful, and that being a decent human being comes above wrestling, because it's wrestling. It's wrestling. It's just not more important than having integrity, right? So,
and you guys know where I've stood a ground on things, you know, like I've made it, I've made it in the last 3 years to certain shows I don't watch, to certain things I say about Latinos in wrestling, not just WWE, everywhere.
But even from the perspective of like the way that you move in the space, you're not here to personally attack wrestlers, you're not here to
never
do anything but talk about stories and matches and have a good time with it. And even in times when we haven't been a fan of something, you're not someone who brings ill intent or viciousness or any of that. And so it made it really easy for you to be someone that we brought on board here. And I look forward to seeing that continue from you and whatever you choose to do next, because that is so much more important than,
I mean, by God, I mean, I got friends that work in both companies, number one. And I, my best friend whose wedding I was in, you know, is still working there. Like, this just, I would never turn around. Like, yes, on, you know, Twitter and in Blue Sky, I put my feelings on what is happening as abroad, but I never say XYZ wrestler. It's never that. It's not that serious.
I put this guy over and he goes calling women broads. Can you believe it?
No, I said, oh my God, never.
Actually, abroad. Kate, I was just kidding.
First of all, for everyone here, if you guys go watch us since 2022, I've never, every time I say like, man, the women did great, I've always corrected myself. I've always been super respectful. And I still forever love Isla Dawn. We may continue. Of course,
as you should. There might be an interview with Miss Isla Dawn coming out at Fightful with Corey Brennan. Just saying. But I always appreciated that about you, correcting when you say girls are calling the women. But I'm always like, people always say like the boys. You know what I mean? So
I got daughters.
I appreciate it though.
A mom and stuff.
I get it. This isn't a super chat, but it's a compliment to me. So go ahead. Alexis, if you had to put Kate over in one sentence, what would you say?
Oh, my goodness. The most phenomenal, extraordinary, smart, talented, unique person in this space that I completely, totally respect as my peer and someone who knows her crap when it comes to people trying to dig at her online and will forever hold that title in my heart and in my brain.
The thing is, Alex, you started by saying phenomenal and then you followed up with a bunch of wonderful.
You see what adjectives. I did
there, I know, and I feel like that means I'm better than AJ Styles. Like, what it other is. Conclusion am I supposed to draw other than I'm better than AJ Styles?
He gives the best hugs. Like, I mean,
no, they don't want. Okay, I pride myself on being a good hugger. Bailey could never, but the fact that you're like 7'8".
I am 7'8".
Is what it makes the hug.
She hugs my knees.
We got a chat that says doing a street fight after Texas death is hilarious. Here's my thing. We're gonna talk about a steel cage match that got set up later. And I think that match needs it because one guy has people that would interfere on the outside and one guy doesn't. And this match desperately needed a stipulation. So I have no problem with them making a street fight. Like, this needed a stip on it. Shall we talk about the car crash, Alex?
Yeah, dude. I mean, that was intense. I from here almost called 911.
Never in WWE history has there been an investigation that started at the beginning of an episode and ended halfway through an episode. Whoever investigated the Jade Cargill situation for like 900 years needs to learn. They need to be trained by the same authorities that solved this case as quickly as they did, because normally these backstage attacks go on forever or they go on unsolved. They were like, we need an hour and a half tops.
I know podcasters that are going to start doing, you know, these type of, what do you call it? Murder mysteries and true crimes, specifically on just WWE stuff.
That's actually a very fun idea. You should do that as content that you create outside of Fightful, because you're abandoning us. But basically what happens, we start the episode with a car crash that Solo Sikoa and his entire crew are in. And Kathy Kelly, like damn professional, is on the scene immediately. Okay. She's out there with her microphone. Sean Ross Sapp could never. I'm sorry. He's the best scoopster in wrestling media. He's got nothing on Kathy Kelly in this instance. He could never. He could never. But I love this. So Sokoa's crew has been taken out by this car crash. Cody Rhodes is on site and Adam Pearce is there. It looks like Nick Aldis was taking some time off. But we get told that Jacob Fatu is a person of interest in this, and Jacob Fatu says, I didn't do anything. Why am I a person of interest? That's not the way that I go about things. Like, absolutely not. So Fatu gets falsely accused and goes right for Solo after his name gets cleared, but not before we get this promo from Solo Sikoa. And I cannot express to you how incredible the turnaround for Solo Sikoa has been. Him having this sense of humor, him just having some, even when he's being vicious, some looseness about it instead of this stoic authoritarianism. Like, he says, and I like that he makes points here, he says, I put food on the table of this guy's whole family. I made this guy a champion. I put money in this guy's pockets, and this is what he does to me. And then he says, once a criminal, always a criminal. I shouldn't be surprised. Damn, Solo Sikoa. But we find out that Jacob Fatu's name has been cleared, Alex, and that it seems as though Solo Sikoa was trying to frame him all along, because Solo Sikoa gets arrested after Jacob Fatu beats his ass. I love this. They're like, you're cleared. You can go settle business however you need to. And Fatu's like, bet. Like, goes down to the ring and beats the crap out of Solo Sikoa. This was so much fun. And then Solo Sikoa gets arrested, but not before he's told that he's going to have to defend his title against Jacob Fatu in a steel cage. Enhancement talent police officer that was arresting him made the most amazing face as he was arresting him, and Solo Sikoa is just cannot believe that the tables have turned on this. I actually, as far as these really corny segments go, I kind of liked this. I think because I was like, oh god, this is gonna go on past SummerSlam. It was like, no, we solved this crime. I feel like anytime Jacob Fatu is just there to kick ass, like casually, I feel like it's great. And I cannot stress enough how great this newer evolution of Solo Sikoa has been as he stepped into this role. I love what he's doing. This was incredibly cheesy wrestling entertainment, but to quote the great Cresta Star, I was sports entertained by this. I didn't hate it. If you did, I completely understand. But I think because it got resolved halfway through the show, I was like, okay, no, this kind of rules, because this did not go on for 8 years.
I enjoyed it. I was...
You did? Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Like, you know...
Because it's your last show.
It's what I had to say something nice. Positive. I got paid. No, I'm just kidding. I've said this when we first started getting Solo in the Bloodline, and then Solo in Bloodline 2.0, you know, from the enforcer never really talking to kind of like getting his hands dirty to having suits that didn't fit him, to finally getting tailored, to, you know, claiming his own brand and doing his own thing, to finally getting the chains off himself and talking freely and making his character stand out, in from facial expressions to the way he tells the story in the ring. You know, all of that has worked for him. And all of that was what made this segment what it was. It wasn't the fake random cops, right? It wasn't the Hands of Town who they used that from 300,000 billion light years away. You can tell weren't real cops. To, first of all, the clothing alone, cops' clothing is not that crispy. Trust me. secondly, the car crash scene, like, that was a hell of a lot of damage, like the way that, for a small parking garage where they were at. So
kudos on them, though. Eyes.
Yeah. He was bleeding. Like, things were bad. Kudos on them to try to make this work. They were able to stuff all of this in a 2-hour show. It all worked very well. Just like how I enjoyed Swerve destroying the limo on A-Dubs, the same way I enjoyed this segment with Jacob and Solo. Solo's, if this is the last word you hear from me here on Fightful, Solo is it, man. He will, for me, unfortunately, he'll always just be like a secondary top tier talent, secondary top tier, right? Not kind of quite make it to the very, very top, but God, he's still there. He's still fighting for it. And I think that he's just excellent.
Yeah, I feel like this conversation has happened already, but like Fatu just coming in and being like,
that's, yeah,
you need me to kill it at literally everything. I think kind of derailed Solo a little bit for a while, but he has found something completely different that's working so well. And that just makes me so, so happy. Anthony Velasquez saying, outside of the tag team division, Solo has been the best part of SmackDown recently. Hope he retains at SummerSlam and move Fatu up into the world title picture. You know, that's an interesting call. I feel like they're going to hot potato it back to Fatu. I'm a little torn by that chat, because I feel like Jacob Fatu is world championship caliber wrestler right now. I also feel like we need someone that feels this big and important in the mid card to reestablish that title. Like, LA Knight had a great reign. The Shinsuke stuff didn't really work. Fatu was off to a good start, but I think this idea of hot potatoing a title, which they used to do obnoxiously often and they don't really do anymore, is actually a really productive thing. I kind of prefer when mid card stories are about the title more than family dynamics, because those are traditionally the workhorse ones, but I can't say this is a bad wrestling move. And I'm so happy that Solo Sikoa has found this niche. Where do you sit on that? Are you like, put Fatu in the world title picture, he's ready for it?
Yeah, after SummerSlam, I think like you kind of build to it. I think that he goes, I would love for him to go into Royal Rumble and make a name for himself, you know. The thing is, like, with everything that's happening around the world title picture, like, would you have to switch in brands? You know, because right now, like, this Cody storyline is pretty super tight right now. I believe that, I don't have sources, but I do think whatever they're doing with this title that Cody is chasing right now, it's probably locked up already up until the day Monday of after WrestleMania. So I think if they were to elevate him, you would have to send a Jacob Fatu after like a Gunther or something, you know, which would be great. Right. So like eventually they're going to open up the portal or whatever it is that they do now, the draft again. And I think that if you were to put Fatu on Raw, you know, let him do his thing, man.
The portal draft superstar shakeup that ends up never making anything.
Is that not what we're still calling it? No. Like the Doctor Strange portal from Marvel.
It's like, I don't know if you're a fan of The Office, but the Michael Scott Baby's Cure Fun Run, whatever, where he goes for the cure at the end. That's what the draft has become. But I think Fatu is there if they wanted to give him that kind of push. I just think I him winning back the title cements him as like the face side of things, but we'll see, man.
Or even continue to elevate him. The Intercontinental Championship is above the US title in my eyes. You know,
that's
you continue you don't have to like, you know, do whatever you're going to do there. Like have him go after that. And then like it used to be that way, Kate. It used to be that you would go up the ranks from the, you know, from the European title to, you know, XYZ all the way up to like, okay, now it's time for him to go after the world title.
Well, let's be real. It's like 24/7 title, huge gap, right? Like that's where we're at. It's like 24/7 title, huge gap.
They should bring that back. Those are great
butterfly belts.
What a great! They should. I mean, split the brands, bring back the butterfly belt. Oh wait, they already have a split brand.
They should do the 24/7 title across brands in the way that they had it, where it was like everybody was just always running after it. But they just run across every they run through NXT, they run through SmackDown.
Oh my gosh.
I'm all for it. Yeah. I'm all for it.
Evolve, TNA.
Yeah. I love this. No, they should not. I hear you, Sabrina. I was making a funny.
Sabrina, I thought we were friends. We want it back.
Sabrina. Well, let's what should we talk about next? Let's talk about Alexa and Charlotte, because I gotta say I'm very intrigued by this dynamic. And the two things we've talked about so far are not matches, but they were really, really hot angles and rare cheesy wrestling W, I feel like, with that car angle. But I really am starting to love this alliance of convenience thing, man. I feel like Charlotte has settled into who she could be on the face side of things. I feel like it's never really clicked before, but she tells Alexa here, who is dressed like a cheerleader with her Lily doll, that she talked to Adam Pearce and they have a tag match at SummerSlam because they didn't really lose the Evolution one, even though they didn't win it. It's like, well, we didn't really lose. And Alexa's basically like, just like that, you got us a tag title shot. And she goes, well, I'm still Charlotte Flair. Which I thought was such a clever little gentle troll. Like it wasn't so aggressive that it made you feel like this woman's a heel, but it was like a nice little nod to what people say about Charlotte and also the character who Charlotte has been to this point. And Charlotte is in this like cropped half shirt that says we're not friends. And Alexa looks like a cheerleader and she says, well, I'll be out there for you. And she said, this is a singles match. Like, I don't need you out there for this. And she goes, you look like a cheerleader. And she goes, I will be your cheerleader. They have a really, really fun chemistry. And she goes out to face Raquel, who of course has Roxanne on her side. And I really actually quite liked this match. Like, Charlotte gets the no selling criticism a lot. And there are times where I see that pop up. Like I guess the one that broke my heart was like, I saw Julia do a standing twisting neck breaker. And that is one of my favorite moves in all of wrestling. It's a ZSJ coded move. I love it. And she did no sell it. But I think with Raquel, because the pace of the match and because the size of Raquel, something extra was there in the chemistry. And like the whole match was selling because it was all big bombs at each other. These are two really, really strong women. This is honestly like one of my favorite matches since Charlotte has been back, because I feel like as she's getting her legs back under her post-injury, there's been some stuff that hasn't been my favorite work of hers, but I think she's one of the very best in-ring performers I've ever seen. And I feel like this was a good match for Raquel. It's up there. She had a great match with Rhea in the street fight that they had that was built around the psychology of not using the table, which I thought was really clever in their street fight. But I gotta say, like, this really, really clicked. And we get this fun ending where Roxanne tries to interfere. And while the ref is distracted, Alexa Bliss says, you know what? Fair game. And she interferes. And you have Charlotte doing a roll-up because Alexa did this behind the ref's back. So you get a super kick in the roll-up for the win. I normally don't like it when face is cheap, but there's something that was kind of cute about, like, Well, I'll give you, it was just a reply almost to what Roxanne did because the spots were similar. Whoever produced this match, I hope it's on Fightful Select. But I really applaud them because I actually really liked the layout of this and I felt like it made Raquel look really good. It made Charlotte look good. And the alliances made sense. And they were kind of able to get away with a heel move at the end that didn't feel overly heelish. It felt babyface-ish. So I have a lot of positive things to say about this episode of SmackDown, actually. And this match, I thought, was a really productive use of story. And I thought the it was productive for both of the competitors in it. Quite a bit. Orion Ben saying that it felt like a TJ match. I wouldn't be surprised if we find out it's a TJ Wilson match. What did you think of? I know you like it when big strong women kick the crap out of each other. Cardoza, you tell me.
I'm all about it, man. I've always said this. If you can power slam me and choke me out at the same time, yeah, my dream. Yeah. Listen, I think the ladies did well. I think that it was a good mix of what was going on, not too much with the interference crap, right? Because we kind of get tired of that rather quickly. The only downside, because I don't want to be overly positive tonight, is that
gotta go out as a hater, bro.
I gotta go out as a hater. Charlotte always just seems forced as a face,
for sure. Especially,
they're trying to do the little half heart and let me give you a hug, and it's just not for me. It's not for me.
Part of the story, though? She's like being dragged into this friendship, kicking and screaming. Is kind of a part of it, though, right?
I don't know, because even Alexa's not even playing that card right now. She's like, all right, cool. Kind of like, you know, like when she was trying to do the heart, she was like looking at her like, why are you trying to heart me? You know, and then she finally like kind of did it, but pushed her hand away. Right, like, all right, cool, I'll do it, but shut the F up already, right? Like, like she's the cool kid and, you know, they're trying to be friends, but...
It is a big sister, little sister vibe.
Yeah, sure. I think for me, it's always just... For me, whenever I see Charlotte on screen, for any time that I see Charlotte, like, do something positive, I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop when it comes to her.
I understand.
So, you know, unfortunately, that's the character that they have built in 10-plus years. So that's what we are looking to expect. Anything that's in that realm of the gray area that they might not happen.
Whoa, Alex.
What?
Are you saying that WWE tag teams sometimes use the tag title picture to break up friendships and have dissension around them? Is that what you are implying on the show, sir?
No.
Okay.
Phew. Never. I've watched enough WWE television to know that this stuff, this little friendship finagling crap never goes wrong, ever.
Not once. Not once has it gone wrong.
Together.
I will say, watching WWE Evolution, Hot Tag Charlotte is really fun. It was really fun to see Hot Tag Charlotte. And what we haven't seen with Charlotte, she's been singles titled to death. Like, that's why people say that they're sick of it, I think. It's because she's always booked like a top star because she's one of the best wrestlers in the world. But we haven't seen her in a tag picture. And we've seen Bayley in several tag programs. We've seen Becky in several tag programs. I actually think this is like a great use of her and the stage of her career that she's at, because I think that division needs so much help. But I think this alliance is working for me.
Yeah, I mean, it'll eventually pay off, I think, 100%.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so.
And if it doesn't, you'll remember good old hater Alex talking crap on his last Friday night.
His last night at Fightful. Well, we told you about NordVPN before, and we told you a little bit about Fightful Select, but there are some stories that I did want to run down for you guys. There are details on a report that Mike Johnson from PW Insider had reported earlier. On the TKO severance changes, so WWE used to have, by all accounts, more favorable severance package, essentially, for talent that were being let go than TKO does. That alignment has now forced, basically, talent to adapt to the same rules as TKO, which was a much less favorable situation. But details about that on FightfulSelect.com for you. Mike Johnson with the original report, but a lot of details. I mean, like Cobra Insurance levels of details for you. This doesn't only affect talent too. This is also some employees of the TKO WWE situation. There's also a Seth Rollins update as much as we can. Things are pretty cloudy. Initially, it seemed like Rollins had a legitimate injury, and then things went quiet to Sean. So we don't know what the deal is yet. I am intrigued to see what happens here because Sean said that it might be a Machiavellian situation here. I'm intrigued if he actually came down on his knee really bad. And then they found out that the injury wasn't as severe as it was. And now they're like, well, people think you're going to be out. Let's surprise the world at SummerSlam, right? But people went silent on it. So we don't have a full clear picture right now. But what we do know and what Sean's experience reporting on this has been so far is up on FightfulSelect.com for you. We do have our Isla Dawn interview posted early for you, Mr. Cardoza.
It's my early Christmas birthday gift. I mean, I'm with it, man. Just give me
that's
all
what's up. Content. And of course, AJ Styles being at Slammiversary, we had some information on that before they had confirmed it. So some more details there for you as well as the things I mentioned about some talent rotation, some features that we always have up there, Ask Grapsity, Select Answers. We had a Q&A earlier in the week. So check those out on FightfulSelect.com. Let's keep on rocking and rolling through this episode. I like this, the Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss team. This has been fun, but let's move to, what should we talk about next?
Seems like the show was okay, so, you know,
let's talk about the four-way tag. Let's talk about the four-way tag.
Yeah.
We do have a really creepy White Six vignette that airs. Yeah. I'm so happy to see Nikki Cross back in this, because I've been saying, like, I really miss, she felt like the breakout of that faction, and then it felt like maybe she'll tag with Alexa, maybe she'll do nothing. And she was finally, like, back as an on-screen presence, but this is creepy as hell, man. Creepy as hell. But we do have them, like the whole tag division is on notice with these guys having the titles. But we have DIY versus Motor City Machine Guns versus Fraxium versus Andrade and Rey Fénix, who get the win here. Fraxium showing out in this. And the Guns were kind of like, I know they're still young, as you like to point out, but they just didn't feel like, I feel like everybody had their moments here. Like DIY is one of the very best tag teams in the world at the specific tag team criteria of making everything in a match make sense. And Motor City Machine Guns is that way too. But I feel like DIY got some more shine in here. I'm really liking this Andrade Rey Fénix pairing. I feel like it's set up for Penta to come and get his brother from Andrade. And if you're going to sign me up for Andrade and Penta matches, like, 7 days a week, twice on Sundays. Like, I'm in on that. Fraxium getting to look as special as they are, I feel like, was necessary. I thought this match was super, super fun. I'm pleasantly surprised that Andrade and Rey Fénix won it. I love tag team wrestling when they just let people wrestle. I wish the Raw tag team division felt an iota as cool and important as the one on SmackDown was. But we had said, and I mentioned this last week, like, we were worried about what this was going to do to the decrease of women's wrestling on the show. Not a ton of women's wrestling from a time perspective, but we did have two women's matches and we did have our tag match. So I think they are being aware about that. I think they are being aware about that, which is an encouraging sign to see. Tag match was great. Tag match was great, I thought. What did you think though?
Yeah, I thought it was good. You know, good to see them continue to push the Latin talent. Obviously they got they acquired a Latin company, so it's in their best interest to kind of like push these talent here and there. Some that are, you know, should be pushed that aren't, but I don't know. You guys know how I feel about that. I've been spewing that for years here, specifically as of late with
the AAA Escobar,
you know, yeah. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I do want to say this. I'm going to leave it at that, that the match I thought was great. And I echo everything you said. I do hope after today that even though I'm no longer going to be doing this Friday night show, that somehow TKO and WWE find it in their hearts to allow the Motor City Machine Guns to become top tier talent. They have a long road ahead of them. They have a long career ahead of them. And I know that sometimes
you
bringing up
me
young
so
talent.
Good.
Okay. Bringing up young
I
talent.
I thought for sure you were going to say something about Hispanic representation so sincerely.
Okay. We know that's not going anywhere, unfortunately. But, you know, at least if that's not going to move, give my boys a chance. I'll buy a shirt. Maybe not. And, you know, we'll just go from there. Sorry,
Kate. They have a lot of potential. They have a lot of potential. I'll say that. They could be great if they let them.
And they got years ahead of them, so why not?
I think of you every time. Like CM Punk, I think, called Alex Shelley one of the best technical wrestlers he's ever been in the ring with. And they faced each other like in ROH. And every time I see anything about Motor City Machine Guns, I just am so... I think of you and I am...
That's my lasting legacy here.
It is. It is. I'll carry it on.
Oh, thank you, please.
Got this chat that says, oh, look, it's a Carmelo Hayes sighting. Another good match where he generates heat, but is back to catering after tonight. Now, I am maybe foolishly optimistic that this is going to go somewhere because he's been now cemented in this angle and away from The Miz for a minute. And he's working with two talent that, especially, no offense to Aleister Black, he's just hasn't been back that long. But like Damian Priest, as far as like, hey, we need someone to elevate this guy, is like got to be a top three phone call at this point. Like he is incredible about making stories come to life really vividly in backstages and in the ring. He's held titles. He's worked with top talent. He just got off of this huge feud with Drew. And so I feel like that's a really optimistic sign. And as someone who's been asking for this for like a year with Carmelo at this point, I'm really, really glad to see it. This match was so much fun. Of course it ends in a DQ. Of course Aleister Black comes in and attacks Damian Priest. That infuriates me because I feel like this happens all the time, specifically with Carmelo Hayes. And I feel like it happens all the time in general. And I also feel like the thing with it happening to Carmelo Hayes so much is he's not able to move forward in his career if everything is constantly stunted by these stupid disqualification finishes. And he's so good in the ring that like it always disrupts matches that I genuinely want to be watching because he's a great wrestler. We did get like the bicep flex pose, which I always appreciate a good one of those. So thank you for the strong guy pose because it gave me good meme material. I was like, I was doing live tweeting from the Fightful account today, and I was like, when you opened the jar that your mom couldn't, I was like, yeah. but I thought this match was really, really good. I'm just so sick of these damn DQ endings. I will say this one at least made sense, but like the triple threat, no DQ cop-out stuff has gotten exhausting. And I want Carmelo Hayes to have like a feud with a conclusive ending that moves him up the card. That's all I want. Great match though. Intrigued to see where this goes. Where are you at tonight?
Yeah, same. I want to see Carmelo Hayes continuing to push it. You know, I don't know when that moment will happen for the big blow over moment that, you know, I mean, you've seen Drew McIntyre have it. You know what I'm saying? Like you've seen, other certain people just, I don't think we'll ever see LA Knight in our lifetime do it, unfortunately, at least in
doesn't
WWE.
Feel that way, does it?
So I'm hoping, like, you know, here's what I think. I think that he's going to have a great whatever years he has left on WWE. And I think when it comes time, he might think, like, you know what, maybe I could be it. Because you see someone like a Swerve Strickland become a giant player. Right elsewhere out there. I think that he has the potential to do that. You don't think so? Like, I feel like they just, I think here, I'll make it easier for you. I think they'll do it, But it would be something like the World Heavyweight Championship, right? The secondary title that's on Raw right now on Gunther, right? Like, that's if they go finally say, let's bite the bullet and go with it. That's what I think. We saw Jey Uso. Was it Jey Uso? Yeah, Jey Uso won it, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Anything's possible. Not hating on Jey, but that run wasn't...
No, he's like... Yeah, it was a 52-day run or whatever. He was certainly transitional. I feel like when you talk about like LA Knight's strengths, I feel like they are tailor-made for what WWE does with Swerve. I feel like he could... I'll put it this way. I think you're right in that he could thrive in either environment. I think he's best suited for WWE, and I think Swerve is best suited for AEW.
Got it.
So he's
more of an entertainer, you think? More entertainer?
I do.
More in that aspect. I mean, yeah, from the end.
But like, look at,
now that I think about his NXT.
Look at Tony Storm, yeah. Right? Like, yeah. Like, Tony Storm is an insane entertainer, but she makes it work at AEW. So I feel like anybody could... go in any environment. I just feel like the other thing is, like, I think he's in his 40s now, so we'll see. I think he just signed a contract. I don't know how much Larry Aloysius Knight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's,
I think
he's
signed, like, pretty recently.
43 so. Or something like that. Yeah. He's up there. He's up there with AJ Styles, so.
Well, he's going back to Slammiversary, which you can read all about on FightfulSelect.com.
Might as well bring Eli Drake over the Slammiversary as well and just dummy, yeah, and just hit the button 1,000 times and put him in the Hall of Fame.
Give me the dummy button. Give me the dummy button. A great time.
It was.
Let's keep rocking and rolling through this. Really, really fun. Damian Priest won by DQ. I should be more clear too.
Yeah.
That the Black Mass attack happened after Black hit a brutal Black Mass on Priest, and Carmelo Hayes was like, I'm out of here. So I just want to be very clear that I about what the actual match ending was. But let's close out here with Stephanie Vaquer, who is over like Rober, and Alba Fire. We got a nice chat about this as well that said, Alba wanted to go 10 minutes with Steph for Clavs, but WWE said no. At least they allowed Melo to show out and gave Alexa her pom-poms back for Clavs. Good luck, sir. Good luck, sir, indeed. But yeah, this match was too short, but the point of the match was we should bring Stephanie Vaquer around, basically. Like, she won the Battle Royal at Evolution. She's extremely connected with the WWE crowd. I wish they would lay off the Devil's Kiss move for the horniness of it all, because she does some, and her finisher is an insane move. And Wade Barrett being like, I'm going to study it this weekend, bruv, is like, it's not great. Like, stop doing that. But this match was fine. It just wasn't very long, and Piper Niven attacks her after, which is great. It doesn't feel like we should be headed toward a Stephanie and Chelsea program, but perhaps we are. I liked the reversal of the Swanton and hitting the SVB for the win. Steph also like kind of fought off Piper Niven to stand tall. So that's a good deal there, but she is the real deal, man. Crowd loves her. She's incredible in the ring. Great presence to her. Great look. Like, she's going to be a star for them for a long time to come. She zipped through NXT, man, less than a year. And she was on the main roster in, like, I don't know what, 10 months or something. Crazy. So great to see this match. This match was like, we wanted her on SmackDown pretty much. I don't think this angle is long for the taking here, but how do you feel about Steph getting a title shot at Miss Tiffy Time? And how do you feel about tonight's match?
Yeah, give it to her. I mean, she's not a rookie. Like, she just didn't come in. I mean, she's been doing this for a long time. Like, she knows her stuff. She, like you said, like, there was no reason for her to be in NXT any longer than what she was already there for, right? So, you know, kind of wasting away. Matt, you think about it. Your body is you know, like a vehicle. You get in a car, you put miles on it. Eventually, things start, you know, falling apart here and there. Your body's the same way. You're taking these bumps, taking these hits. and not being anything other than just a professional here and someone who loves professional wrestling, and every single person, male and female or whatever, in that ring, right? A female's expectancy, like life expectancy in the ring, is always shorter than a male's, right? Like, we don't see females go any longer. So, like, if she decides to one day say, you know, I'm done with this, we want to see the best of her now. Well, she can't do it, right? So, like, why not throw her in a wrestling match? This goes for the male, for the men too, because I know I got herniated discs and a destroyed body. So, like, you don't want things to linger. Like, I would love for her to get her time, do it now. And then if it's like BS matches, you know, after her run and whatever, and then back to being on top, who cares? She did it. She got there, right? And listen, first of all, with Stephanie Barker, they got a great example of a great wrestler. She told a great story at Evolution, speaking in English, right? Very hard to do. So mad props for her for even standing in the middle of the ring and speaking to people in not her native language. And
yeah,
with all due respect, she is very beautiful. So they're going to also make sure that they skyrocket her because she has a look, just like in Hollywood.
Well, when you were talking about the differences between like ring time for men and women or career longevity, Charlotte said the quiet part out loud.
She did.
Like, she's toward the end of her career as a woman who's closing in on 40, but
yeah.
God, men hitting 40 now are just in their primes. They don't push anybody until you're like 38 years old and above anymore.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So like for men is you know, it's different. I mean, look at Natty. Natty's later in her career as well. We barely see her except for being used as an enhancement, you know, in WWE, or she's doing something else elsewhere, right? Like, respectfully, obviously, like that just sucks, right? Like, I don't want anyone thinking that.
What are we doing with Natalia Hart? Like, but honest to God, every time this woman she's doing stuff with Promise Braxton on the indie, she's doing her blood sport matches. Everybody loves this shooter natty thing. This low-key legend stuff works. And I see her palling around with Maxxine Dupri, getting told by Sheamus that, darn it, he thinks that they should be tag team champions someday.
But I think this is the WWE
to not
way.
Wrestle.
They're like, not. It's, they're not.
It's maddening.
The last time you saw women getting late in their age, kind of like be still presented, was like the Great Moolah and whatnot. You know, like they were getting thrown through tables by the Dudley Boys, like, and they were still like doing their shtick, right? Their like, you know, funny moments in the ring and stuff like that, right? But it's a totally different world too. The women are also very athletic and very in tune with who they are, their bodies, and what they want for their career. So, you know, put everything.
It'll be interesting to see if it starts to change now.
Yeah, I mean, look at Charlotte. You speak about Charlotte. Charlotte came through the butterfly belt, didn't she? Like, they were still.
She was the last butterfly belt holder. Yeah,
they were still doing diva stuff when she first came to the scene. Yeah. That goes to tell you, you know, how far we've come.
The other side of that coin is they released Dakota Kai for being too old, and they view Joe Hendry as a young prospect who is like older than her by, I think, like 3 or 4 years. But let's get through the rest of these chats, because Anthony Velasquez raising a good point. Julia is really going to be left off a 2-night SummerSlam card, is she? They really don't care about the women's U.S. title. So she was in the background during the Alexa and Charlotte segment. And I just don't know why you created women's mid-card titles if you're going to use them to move tag programs along. But she didn't get to defend at Evolution either. So I hope that they do more with it. But some more chats. Tim McFowell saying, wait, Clavs putting over Motor City Machine Guns, where am I? And thank you, Clavs. We'll miss you. You deserve a chance ringing out for Alex Cardoza here. I do genuinely love that everybody calls you Clavs instead of like,
so Alex good. I'm good with the Clavs, man.
It's amazing.
It's my brand. It's
amazing. It is your brand.
Everywhere I go. I told you guys, I was in Atlanta doing a show. They wanted their Clavs signed. I did it.
That's what it is. Signing babies and Clavs.
That's it. I was like, respectfully, please pull your shirt down. That was it. Just walked away. Closed my eyes. I don't know what the hell I was signing, whether it was their cheek or their clav, and I just walked away. That's how respectful I am.
Just drawing.
Sir, you missed my clav. Well, sorry.
Alex, for the last time, for your final ride here at Fightful, where can people find you in your post-Fightful career?
Well, you know, after years of being on Fightful, it was, you know, taking a toll on my body.
That's all we had time for.
Did I just get Goldberged?
You got Goldberged!
I got Goldberged live!
Let's go!
You guys just go to my name, alexiscardoza.com. You'll find all of my links in there, all of my projects. There's a ton of stuff that are coming. I can't even begin to tell you guys because I'm waiting for the for it to get sent and the ink to get dry on what is coming. And I'll talk Kate about it too, but I don't think I have. But there's a lot of stuff coming my way. As always, as long as you guys follow me, you'll see absolutely everything that I'm putting out there. And like I said, I'm still going to show up in Kate's channel. I'll find a way to get there. Trust me. Like,
you better not be going to Sports Illustrated Takedown. You set of a... No, I'm just kidding.
No. I turned them down. I turned...
I'm kidding.
The JD guy called me yesterday. I turned him down. You know, like, I mean, absolutely everyone. I could really go on here and just, like, go crazy, but I'm not.
Would he not give you creative control? Was that the issue?
Something about, like, not liking Hispanics. I don't understand. But anyway, like, I don't know. I don't know. I was like, dude, I look... Never mind. And I just walked away. But yeah, we got some fun stuff. Make sure you listen to Wrestling with Freddie. We're still pumping. We're in our fifth season with that. And I'll still be in the chat. I'll still be doing a bunch of stuff. And last but not least... Love you all. Thank you for following me and supporting me for 3 years here. That's crazy. I don't even have anything longer than 2 years in my life. I think my age is the only thing that surpassed that. And then and huge thanks to Sean, the team, everyone, anyone that I've done shows with, friggin' Rob, Maggie. They've always had me on their show. I love them too. And obviously you, like, you know, and I'm still gonna, like, we're still chatting and it's almost the Burr months, you know? We're going to be...
It's almost the Burr months.
Come on now, baby. Let's go. Hey, all the love and hugs and Clavs loves for all of you. We'll bang Clavs. If you guys see me, we could bang Clavs. I mean, I don't know how that sounds, but...
Scissoring is like so yesterday.
Yeah, scissor. We don't scissor anymore. Now we bang the Clavs. So
that's it. Bedorva said, farewell, Alex, to Clavs Boogaloo.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for making this so fun for the past 3 years of my life, Alex. I appreciate you so much as a person and a friend and a co-host in this. Oh, you're tearing up right now. I'm trying to hold it together, man.
Gotcha.
Trying to hold it together, but we're not going to let him be too far away.
I'm not. Trust me. You'll see me like one day. She'll text and be like, hey, by the way, you want to? Yeah, duh.
You're on, kid.
Yeah.
No, nobody ever, guys. Nobody ever really retires in wrestling. We don't.
No, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm leaving my mic in the middle of the desk right now. But I'm
coming back, and your boots. I love it. Guys, we thank you so much for the support for the past 3 years of this duo specifically in support for Fightful in general has been unbelievable. So thank you so much. You deserve a chance breaking out in the chat. We love you guys. Stay tuned this weekend for Grapsody and your Collision Post show. And we've got a busy summer that just does not stop. SummerSlam, Forbidden Door, All Out. We're practically giving shows away. So stick around with us. We will see you. Well, I will see you next week. Take care.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.